Well, this morning, as you're aware, we're starting a new series. This is a fun series for us. It's the Gospel According to Pixar. How many of you growing up had a favorite toy? Just raise your hand if you had a favorite toy. Yeah, I think we all had favorite toys, didn't we? Can I show you mine? This was my favorite toy. Yeah, that's it, right there. It's the Fisher-Price Parking Ramp Service Center. How many of you had this toy? Right? I loved this toy. Now, here's the revelation for you this morning. You ready for this? It's a parking garage. Right? My favorite toy growing up was a parking garage. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that, like, you know, Fisher-Price people were sitting around a table and they were like, we need to come up with some really cool ideas, like dinosaurs with lasers on their heads and everything. And then somebody over in the corner, like, just chimes in and says, what about parking garages? Yes! My word! Boom! You know, and then all of a sudden a parking garage shows up. But this was the coolest thing ever, wasn't it? Like, you put the little car in, the stop sign came up, and then safety is everything. Safety is everything. You were not allowed for the car to pull out onto the parking deck until the stop sign came up, which meant that the level came and was level. It rested. Then the thing would come up, and then you'd pull out. I don't know how many times I tried to, you know, send the car off beforehand, you know, plummeting down into level one, you know, and it wouldn't work because safety is everything. And then you had the little elevator on the side for the people. And then, do you guys remember this? When you turned the crank, what did it do? It dinged, right? It would click, click, click. And then when it got to the ramp, it would go ding, right? I know you all think I'm crazy right now. And then the coolest thing, who would have thought that parking garages and filling cars with fake gas would have been the best thing since sliced bread? You know, the little ramp comes down and you send the car, and then, you know, I used to extend that with like different things, pieces of paper, and it would fly off the ground or whatever I was using. Toys have this ability to do that, don't they? You start to imagine things. You start to think about things. So the Gospel According to Pixar, I want to make a disclaimer. We're not advocating that these movies were intentionally used for the purpose of trying to show us faith. They're not religious movies. They're made by a secular company that does a really incredible job making movies, nonetheless. But the disclaimer is that we're not advocating that these were intentionally used for the purpose of religious material or faith. Instead, what we want to do during this series is look at these movies Christocentrically. Everybody say Christocentrically. Christocentrically means with the eyes and the minds of Christ. When I was a youth pastor, I would constantly get up in front of my students and I would help them to understand that society and culture is not going away. We have to learn how to navigate within the waters of society and culture. And one of the things that I tried to do at an early age for our students was help them to look at things Christocentrically. Because the truth is, no matter what you're watching, you need to be careful what you're watching, but no matter what you're watching, if you look at it Christocentrically, immediately, all of a sudden, you realize, I shouldn't be watching this. When you go in with the mind and the eyes of Christ, and you look at it Christocentrically, you realize, this is bad news. I don't need to be watching this. It doesn't matter what age you are or what level of maturity you are. It doesn't matter how much you think you can handle. The reality is, you can't handle as much as you think you can. So when we talk about Pixar and we talk about having the mind and the eyes of Christ, we talk about watching movies Christocentrically, an amazing thing happens. Faith starts to leak out. Now, somebody help me out. Who is this? Woody. Who's this? Jesse, and everybody's favorite.
I am Buzz Lightyear.
Wait.
I come in peace.
What is he going to say it?
Buzz Lightyear to the rescue.
Right? He's got his little laser over here. pretty amazing. So in 1995, we have the movie that started them all. What was amazing about 1995 is you would have thought by this point we would have had our first computer animated full-length movie, but the reality is we didn't. But in 1995, the first fully computerized animated feature came out called Toy Story. It was the number one grossing film in 1995. Amazing. It was nominated for Academy Awards. It was the first animated movie, whether computer or hand-drawn, that was actually put on the Academy Awards for Best Screenplay, Best Original Screenplay. And it changed a lot of things. One of the things that changed was how we look at toys. In fact, this morning as I was driving in and I had these toys sitting next to me in the seat, I kept looking over at them. Because Toy Story, the principle is very simple. It's about toys and what happens when the humans leave the room. Because the truth is, we really don't know what happens with toys when the humans leave the room, do we? It's just like, does the light really turn off in the refrigerator when you shut it? Right? How do you know? I know how you know. Don't tell me. I know how you know. You hit the button. You make sure. But don't tell me you haven't done it once or twice, just to make sure. It really does shut off. So the premise of Toy Story is very simple. It's about toys and what happens with toys when humans leave the room. But I think it's important for us to go back to the beginning. To go back to when we met these characters, Woody and Buzz. So join me as we go back and are reintroduced to Woody and Buzz.
Have you been replaced?
Hey, what did I tell you earlier? No one is getting replaced. Now let's all...
So that's where we meet Woody and Buzz. And here's the thing, for time's sake, I'm going to kind of speed things up here. Buzz believes that he is a member of the Elite Universe Protection Unit as a Space Ranger Corps who protects the galaxy from the threat of the invasion from the evil Emperor Zurg, sworn enemy of the Galactic Alliance. But the truth is, why wouldn't he not believe that? That's all he's ever known. That all he has ever known is what he comes out of the package when he was basically written on the side of a box. And the reality for us when we look at this is Buzz is not struggling with his identity. But there is a character that is struggling with his identity. Who is that? Woody. Woody's struggling with his identity because he's an older toy. Because he doesn't have all of the gadgets and the bells and the whistles. And they said, oh, Woody has something like that. And he says, yeah, but it sounds like it got ran over by a truck. And he clutches onto his pull string because he's nervous. He's scared that he's going to be replaced. The question for us this morning is, do you ever feel the same way? Do you ever feel like you're comparing yourself to other people? Do you ever feel like that you can't measure up? Or maybe you're struggling with your own identity. Maybe the identity that you carry with you today is only because that's what you've known your whole life. But for us this morning, maybe we have to think deeper than that. You see, Woody was afraid of being replaced. He wanted to make sure that Buzz knew that he was a toy, a T-O-Y toy. So who do you relate to this morning? Buzz? People telling you that you're ridiculous for the way that you are? Or Woody, afraid of what people think, afraid of not being good enough. What do you believe about yourself this morning? Who's defining you? What is your identity? Think about this. How are you defined? Are you defined by your feelings? Are you defined by your opinion of others, by your circumstances? Maybe it's your success or your failure. Does that define who you are? Are you defined maybe by material things like the car you drive or the money that you make, the house that you live in? Maybe it's the friends that you associate with. All of these things are factors that can lead to your identity. But do they really define you? What really defines you? That's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about identity and this identity crisis that we have. Now, again, for time's sake, but I want to make sure that everybody gets this, but on your pews on both sides, there are cards. I want to make sure that everybody has a card, and I want you to be looking at the side that's blank, just the boot, the bottom of the boot. Now, one of the things that you're going to learn through this story and through the movie of Toy Story is the importance of what's under their boot. And for you this morning, I want you to think to yourself, if you had to describe yourself in one word, and if you had to define yourself by one word, what would that be? Now think about that. One word. It could be positive or it could be negative. For me, I think mine would say pastor. Because many of you, when you look at me, you don't see a handsome-looking man, or for obvious reasons, but you don't see a father of two, a husband of my incredible wife, Kaylee. When you look at me, many times when I walk around, even in my own neighborhood, everybody knows me as, oh, that's the pastor. You see, because it's a label. It's something that people have labeled me, have identified to me. So what's it for you? In one word, how would you define yourself? You see, because that's the struggle. What if that was taken away? What if the title or the thing of pastor was taken away from me? Not that I wasn't a pastor anymore, but maybe I just I wasn't serving in ministry anymore. Maybe the identity things in my life start to change. Where would I be then? Who would I be then? You see, what you do with that, what you write down or what you think about, maybe for you it's just not good enough anymore. What if that word was taken away? What if your identity was taken from you? That's what happened with Woody and Buzz in this next scene. Watch this.
Psst. Psst. Hey, Buzz!
There's a kid over in that house who needs us. Now let's get you out of this thing.
Yes, sir!
Both are struggling to realize the power of being loved by their owner, Andy. It's not until Buzz looks under his boot that he realizes his real value. He realized that his identity as being Andy's toy was way more important than being defined by anything else. In fact, this theme of being defined by Andy's mark is repeated throughout all the movies. In fact, just watch this one last short clip.
Look under your boot.
Don't be silly. My hat is not under my boot.
Would you just look?
You see? No hat. Just the word Andy.
Uh-huh. And the boy who wrote that would take you to camp with or without your hat.
See, so it's repeated. And in fact, I wasn't able to pull off more clips, but there's more clips where they reference all the time. Look under your boot. Be reminded of who you are. You're Andy's toy. He cares for you, loves you. It doesn't matter what else is happening around you, because you can rest assured that when you look under your boot, you're going to see Andy's name. In fact, the amazing thing for us is they went as far to put it on the toys. Andy, Andy, and Andy. Well, that one doesn't say it, but you can imagine it does. But the thing for us this morning is we look at this Christocentrically. We find that there's a story within the story. For us, God has been telling us the same thing since the beginning of the story. In Genesis 1:26, he says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." In Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14, it says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." This is David talking about the craftsmanship in which God created him. And he says right here at the end of, "How well I know it." And again, I challenge you with a question back. How well do you know it? How well do you know that He made you, that He made you fearfully and you are wonderfully made, you are complex, that He knit you together in your mother's womb, that when you look under your boot, you don't see the word Andy. I want you to take your card, I want you to turn it over. You see that it says God's. You can rest assured that no matter what you're facing in the world around you, it doesn't matter what's the mountain that stands in your way, you can look under your boot and realize that you are God's. You see, the truth for us this morning, and we're learning this from a movie, a Pixar movie. that can help us to talk about identity and talk to us about ownership. We are owned by the one true King. I love Isaiah 43:1. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel. The one who formed you says..." Let's take note of that. "The one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name.'" Everybody say it with me. "You are mine. You are mine. You are marked with God's seal. He wrote God's on the bottom of your boot." That's what he wrote. And doesn't matter what we face, we can always rest assured that God will never leave us nor forsake us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession." Are you hearing the theme? It started in Genesis chapter 1. He said, "Let us make them in our image. Let's make them so that they can be like us." All the way through in Psalms and in Isaiah. Now we're here in 1 Peter and he says, "You are God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people. Once you didn't have God's name written on the bottom of your boot. Once you didn't have an identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you were a space ranger, but now you're Andy's toy." Think about that. Think about in the light of our life in Christ. Once you were walking around this world aimlessly with no identity, just being who either people told you you are or who you thought you were. But then when your story intersects with God's story, the story of his redemption, the redeeming value of what God brings into our stories, then when we come to the place where we say, "God, you created me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That you possess me. You bought me at a price. And the price was his death on the cross. He paid the ultimate price to buy you." And when we accept that love, and as it says in Romans, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead by his Father, his Heavenly Father, then we are saved. And at that moment, we are marked. We are marked as God's. 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22, as we end here. "It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything that he has promised us." So you wonder, well, how do I know, Pastor, if I'm marked? How do I know if I look underneath my boot and I see God's? Well, listen, he created all of us, but we've chosen not to succumb to his leadership in our life. He knit us all together in our mother's womb. But we make the choice to say, "No, I don't want to be God's anymore. I don't want to be God's. Or I don't understand." And so for us, when we look at this, it says, "And he identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts." You see, the Holy Spirit is the first deposit for us to recognize that God is promising that he is going to come again. But he sends the Holy Spirit to us so that he can guide us and teach us, so we can continue to learn and grow. We're not going to get it overnight, but we stay and we stick with it. And we constantly keep going before God and saying, "God, teach me. God, I want to continue to learn and grow and know in knowledge and in truth." You see, we have an identity crisis this morning. For all of us, there are times in which now and maybe even before that we've had to stop doing things. I want to talk about just two things real quick, stopping and starting. I want us to stop accepting what other people have said about you. Stop accepting the labels. Stop being defined by other people. And instead, start believing that what God says about you. Start realizing that you are precious in His sight. Start identifying yourself as His own. He told us right here that He identifies us as His own. That even though before we didn't have identity, now we have an identity, a true identity, the identity in Christ. And again, we say, well, how? It's by the mark of the Holy Spirit. As I was reading this past week, again, I've been in Romans reading. It was amazing for me to read in Romans chapter 8, talking about the two different ways that our minds and our bodies are controlled. Our minds and our bodies are either controlled by the sinful nature, meaning that we tell it, we do whatever we want to do, and it's controlled by our desires. Or it can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will guard our hearts. The Holy Spirit will guide our minds and our bodies into doing what He desires, what is pleasing to Him. But we battle, we wage war against our sinful nature. You see, it's the sinful nature that defines us many times. When we came into this world, we were immediately defined by our sinful nature. But Christ in His love, when He went to the cross, He erases the sinful nature so that we could be declared children of Him. So we can look under our boot and see that it says God's. If you don't know, or if you struggle with who you are, then you are susceptible, then you're vulnerable to allowing other people to tell you who you are. And I want you to leave this morning not necessarily wrestling with that identity. I want you to know before you leave that you are God's and that He made you. And that He wants nothing more than to write a story that is so amazing and so incredible that only He can get the glory. Amen? He bought you with a price. He paid the ultimate price. You see, Jesus and His ministry here on earth was able to go through all that He went through because of one thing. He knew that His Father loved Him and His Father sent Him. Out of all the Pharisees and out of all the people that kept coming after Him, and even when He was on the cross, He was able to get through all of those moments, those horrific moments, because He knew that His Heavenly Father loved Him and that He sent Him. And that's for me. When I look, I want to know that I can look underneath my boot and see that I'm God's, because I know that there's life that's happening around me. And I know, and I want to know that I can make it through whatever life throws at me, because I know that Jesus loves me and that He sent me and He made me and I am His. Amen? Let's stand as we close. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we're thankful for Your presence with us this morning. We're thankful that we can look at a couple of clips of a secular film and find a sacred moment in it. The sacred for us this morning is recognizing that You made us, and that we were fearfully and wonderfully made, and that our identity needs to be in You. That You told us from the very beginning that we were Your possession, and that You desperately love us. And You love us so much that You sent Your Son to earth to die for us. So Lord Jesus, I pray for each of us this morning that wherever we're wrestling with our identity, Lord, let us stop believing the lies and let us start believing the truth. Let us stop believing what the world says around us and start believing that You love us and that You have a plan for us and that we are Yours. Would you put your hands out this morning and receive this blessing? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are dismissed.